All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Givenish Spotlight Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. We have a phenomenal show today. We've talked on the broadcast about life celebration many times. Joe Krause, our good friend, always says radio is theater of the mind. And I'm actually sitting in the life celebration headquarters, and I have to tell you, to say that I'm blown away is an understatement. The experience that I've had with Life Celebration over the years has been phenomenal, but I had zero idea of where it's developed, and I'm ecstatic to bring on to the program Jim Cummings and of course Jerry Givenish, who are in a sense, the founders, the visionaries, and the owners of the company of Life Celebration Company. Gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
Now, did I get that somewhat right? In other words, am I on track there?
Yeah, it sounds exactly right.
Thank you. I want to say that I just took a tour of the facility, and I would have paid to take that tour. It's that impressive. My father passed away in at the end of March, and my family experienced the life celebration as part of his his services, and it changed the whole healing process for us. But I'd like the gentleman to explain what it is. Jim, if you'll start first, talk about what life celebration is.
Well, we were slightly misguided in our early years, going back 25 years ago, as to what the real purpose of a funeral director, which Jerry and I are both licensed funeral directors. Running a really nice funeral is nice, and it's good, and we always took great pride in that. Growing up Catholic in Philadelphia, we unfortunately thought that the only way you could minister to somebody at the end of life, or any consumer, would be if you had a collar on, with all due respect.
Right.
Our program is known to draw people back to their traditions, their values, their faith, and their spirituality. I want to get them back to their clergy, back to the ministry that I believe we all need.
Sure.
Little did Jerry and I realize at the time, 25 years ago, that our calling was truly to do that. We can always run a good funeral, but could we get people to re-engage family that they hadn't spoken to maybe in many years? And the faith and the spirituality that Jerry and I saw slightly leaking out of the funeral experience needed to be addressed. So we didn't have the knowledge, so we sought some other people from outside funeral service to help us, one being the authors Piney Gilmore of a world-renowned book called The Experience Economy. And then we got just smart enough to start consulting with local clergy in different areas where Jerry and I were working inside of the Givenish family funeral homes at the time. And that's when we really started to hit the pay dirt. They started opening our eyes to things that needed to be delivered to people experiencing a very difficult situation at the end of someone's life. So it was a collaborative effort between experienced funeral people and local clergy and other people that understood therapy, transformational experiences, and the result of people being able to effectively grieve and heal in a life celebration home's care. And then that would also orchestrate them to a place where they would begin to have hope, knowing that they could then travel the rest of the path of their own lives. So it's ministering to the deceased, but even more robustly ministering to the survivors.
And what's interesting about it is you can tell when you come, when you're at a service, a life celebration service, the words life celebration, Jerry, that's not just a play on words for this team and what it is. It's a and I'll say this, and it's, I'm proud to say it, it's a life-changing experience for those, you know, the family members that are there. It's a completely different perspective. But talk about what it means to you in regards to what you offer.
Yeah, I mean, the term life celebration today is overused. 20 years ago when we went down this path, to use sort of a couple words together to give a cue to the consumer that it's different than just a traditional funeral. Not that we're exiting traditional funeral service, but to give them some other things to hook on to other than the function of a funeral.
And what I would call it, because you could, life celebration is not a concept. It's an experience. Okay. I feel like I'm as qualified as anybody because I just went through it. And like I said, when my family went into that room, okay, and we had been through an 8-year ordeal that was so painful, that was unbelievable. And when we left 2 days later, our perspective, even on, you know, just on everything, had changed, and it stayed with us now. The healing process that we were talking about, Jim, it really opened us. It was like a major breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and really the key to this whole notion of life celebration, when you understand the families that we're dealing with, I've been a funeral director for over 40 years, as well as Jim, is that these families, when we meet with them, it's the worst day of their life. Their minds are in vapor lock. They really don't know exactly what they want, what their desires are. They have these desires, but they're not voiced. They know sort of intuitively what they're looking for, but they can't say it explicitly what they're looking for. So as a life celebration funeral director, is really developing a skill set that uncovers the unspoken and the unknown desires that a family's looking for. It's not giving them more work to do. When we work with funeral homes from around the country, part of the training is to do this in a way through conversation that we can learn more about this person who you call dad.
Yeah, and that was from A to Z. Like, in other words, let's talk about the life celebration experience. I'd love people to, you know, through your words, understand a little bit about what my family experienced from the moment. Obviously, you know, my father, you know, once we turned it over to the funeral home, which happened to be Givnish, up on Academy Road, we talk about what people can expect.
Well, it's pretty incredible. Our team here that we have at Life Celebration, they gather the thoughts, the sentiments, the themes, the lifestyle, the interests, the hobbies, as much information as the funeral home that's been trained to gather this information can garner from a family. And then they know that the goal of our team here, our design team, is to produce aesthetically the material that will make people slow down, stop, and think, right? It's about getting healthy by traveling back down the path of not only the life of the deceased, but the relatives, the friends, the coworkers. I say it all the time. You spend 80% of your life at work, but yet typically when someone dies, it's laser focus on the deceased and their family. And then these people that you worked with for the last 25, 30 years, they cycle through the funeral home and tell you how sorry they are, and then they go to their cars and they leave. But when they go to the office Monday morning and that desk is empty, who's there for them? So the experience is supposed to be educational, entertaining, and allow people to escape places where they can find some sense of peace.
So your typical experience when somebody passes, and you have a couple cardboard, kind of like with pictures and stuff like
collages.
A couple collages. I want to paint a picture for people. Like I said, Joe Krause, you know, talks about theater of the mind. There's literally, it took people through every phase of my father's life, and you know, areas. I mean, just little. I mean, subtle things. As you went through the funeral home. Okay, so by the time people got up to see us, they felt like they knew us. It was a complete experience. I didn't get the opportunity to see all that until I went afterwards. And they had to kind of, so Joe, they're closing up the, you know, the funeral home for the night because I wasn't leaving. It was that experience. But also, normally you get a mass card. This is a totally different experience that, by the way, is laid out here in the facility. By in an atmosphere that we're going to talk about in a little while, but talk about, you know, this, a wide array of the kind of the, you know, the product services. I mean, when somebody walks into a life celebration home, okay, and you offer this experience to select funeral homes across the country, but talk about when somebody walks in and what it looks like. It's nothing like you could imagine.
Yeah, work is theater.
Yeah.
And every business is a stage, and I think that's been lost through the years with not only funeral service but business in general. It's been this rote functional process of goods and services, and today the consumer. Is focusing primarily on price for the most part. What we do here and what we produce here on behalf of the funeral homes for the families that they serve is memorabilia.
Yeah. It's a celebration of every stage of somebody's life.
Exactly. And there's different mediums that will exhibit on, whether it's a trifold or a booklet.
Oh, yeah.
There's you know, we have over 75 different products, but the point is that these are tangible pieces of someone's life.
Oh yeah,
that they're able. And Jim, I'm going to echo, and I love what you said about healing, and we preach that people need to hold on to something tangibly. Also, the experience is, if it's a memorable one, will stay with them for the rest of their life. Jim talked about it's the focus traditionally is just on the family and the deceased. And again, echoing about, you know, the workplace and gauging those people,
yeah,
that probably were their second families.
And what I love about it too is that when that work family going in that direction, by the time they get through the experience, it's, you understand the essence of every part of that person's life. And that work family, who, by the way, maybe spent, you know, like you said, 10, 12 hours a day with somebody for decades, they learn things about that person they didn't know. Okay. Things that, and by the way, the family learns also because they get to meet the work family, and everybody experiences it together. I think a great way to describe it is, experience the essence of someone's life right before your eyes, and so you're not just walking in and seeing a collage of pictures, and then a mass card. By the time you get through that experience, and it's not an understatement, I experienced it myself. It's a game changer.
It is, and it's as much work that it takes from a production standpoint. The simplicity and the elegance of having these pieces to take with them, and again, not just the family, but you know, the 200 people that come through to pay their respects. It transforms their mindset. And when we talk about transformations, that's again lost in the experience. If we can help them on that healing path and help them transform their life from really suffering, and I've seen it through the years where people carry that grief to their own grave.
Yeah.
And what we're really trying to do is help them to get past that. And if we can do that and help them with that transformation, we've done our job.
And I know you have to go, Jim, but I want to talk real quick about and this will only take an hour.
Great.
But the presentation, okay, and you know, we're gonna get into you know, how, you know, this is, you know, this is a national company, but it's very, very exclusive. But you and I talked before we came on air, and the fact is that presentation, that exclusivity, and that experience is only available to obviously a select number of funeral homes, particularly because they have to meet the, you know, obviously the standards. But talk about when you're working with other funeral homes and they want to be a celebration of life. Talk about the training and how you, because this isn't a package good. You're not just sending, you know, they're portraying, you know, they become a true life celebration home.
Well, you know, it's amazing. The same thing that the life celebration home does with and for the family is how we train the funeral homes. It's a progression of emotional value. We're licensed funeral directors, so we either have bachelor's degrees and mortuary science degrees, and that's about it. We don't have degrees in psychology. And there's a friend of mine, Rob Smith, who's involved with the funeral service examining boards, who I spoke to many years ago. Why funeral directors don't have a associate's degree minimal in psychology, to deal with families is just, I don't understand it. But the funeral homes that we look for when we interview them are those that express an understanding of the progression of emotional value. And then what we do is we teach them to be much better educators, to engage the family, to implement an entertaining part of an atmosphere. And then obviously to grieve and heal, you need to be able to escape a little bit.
Yes.
So the skill sets that we look for in funeral homes that consider joining Life Celebration are quite unique.
Yeah.
And our hardest task is finding those. And across the globe, Simon Sinek, who's a great economist and socioeconomic guru, says that 2.5% of the population are innovative thinkers. That should scare the you-know-what out of a lot of people. I think that also applies to funeral service. I think there's a lot of people that own funeral homes that have this hidden,
yeah,
innovative passion and talent. They just don't know how to bring it out of themselves and deliver it to the families. And when we find them, we work intensively with these people for weeks and
months. It probably
months.
Turns on a lot of lights for people that probably thought, wow, you know what? I've always wanted to do that. Or wow, that is incredible. It's an experience I'm going to, you know, it must be pretty cool when you see somebody's lights turn on and go, yep, you know, I've always wanted to do this. We can, by the way, we can carry this out and, we, you know, and do it passionately.
Well, if the funeral homes don't know they can do it, how would a family coming to a funeral home know they can do it?
Absolutely.
Jerry will comment on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's bringing awareness to funeral service today that it's more than just doing the functional. We add the purpose behind it that brings all of the great things, that is the output,
yeah,
and the outcome of what we do. So, we don't advertise per se. We're out in the marketplace. Funeral homes find us from around the country.
Sure.
Because we are selective. This isn't a commodity. It's not a retail offering.
Right. It's not a package product.
It's not a package product.
Well, it's interesting because you talk about, Jim, you talked about the spirituality process. You know, there are so many intricate areas, you know, and where you're passionate about it across the board. I know the two of you must have called each other about 2 a.m. about 1,000 times going, guess what? And when that light bulb, you know, it's the forest through the trees thing, right? Like, at what point, as you, I mean, because you're obviously two funeral directors who have gone through, I'm sure in the early days of your career, you probably thought, you know what, this, you know, I can only imagine when the light bulb started to go off and go, we can do this. And then that, you know, coming to Jesus moment where you're like, you know what, we can pack. When did the vision become official?
Probably
2 weeks ago.
My God. we toiled. Yeah. We toiled 20 years ago inside the Givenish Funeral Homes. John Givenish, myself, Jerry, Dan Selecki, a bunch of guys that were just behind closed doors brainstorming on, we've got to figure something out. This is becoming stale, rote.
Yeah.
And economic pressures on both consumers and our businesses. And
in a sense, taking it to a whole new level.
Yeah. And we had to take it outside of Givenish to find out if it was transferable to other funeral homes. And Jerry and I traveled the southeast region of the United States for 2.5 years, going in and out of funeral homes through entrees through the Batesville Casket Company, believe it or not, because they were also looking for another avenue to try to grow and transform themselves. And we met hundreds and hundreds of people that owned funeral homes. And through that 2.5 year process, it allowed us to test things and try things, many of which failed. But it gave us a sense of what direction to go from home to home and state to state.
What's interesting also is the people that you surround yourselves with. And by the way, that's that goes from the Givenish Funeral Homes to Life Celebration. And that's been my experience in doing the broadcast. Okay. I always said this, my wife would always say to me, she was a manager at a high-end salon in Center City, and she always never gave herself credit, right? And I'd say, you take the ownership of that business like it's yours, you care so much about it, right? Well, that's what you have here at Life Celebration, and Givenish, funeral home, same thing. Your vision, okay. It's always a challenge when you create something and now trying to get 100 of you out there to have the same passion. Talk about that process and surrounding yourself. I see the next generation right here. But my point is, talk about that process of bringing good people in and surrounding yourself with the people that are in this place that take ownership and pride like you do.
Well, the funny thing is, in our entryway coming into our building, on the wall it says, you're only as good as the people that you surround yourself with. The proof in that pudding is over the last 2 days, we had our Maryland and Virginia Life Celebration members here for a 2-day workshop, which we call a talk shop. I can tell you that Robert Carmichael, who is the owner of the Money and King Life Celebration Home in Vienna, Virginia, sat to my left for 2 days, and he's been a member. He's in his 17th year. We were as excited talking about this program, even more excited this week than we were 17 years ago in his office.
Absolutely.
I can't describe that any other way. The excitement in this room over the last 2 days with people that have been members from 17 years up until just a few years ago, you would think that it was the first day and you made the Little League team.
Yeah.
After all these years.
I mean, and that type of passion, you just can't buy that. And but also this, though, Jim, the team, the people running the presses, the people developing the products, that, and you walk around here, everybody's, you can see it's just a great place to work because, from the end users that Jim's talking about, to the individuals that are creating the experience in the room, okay? And there's a lot of employees here. We talk about the Givenish Funeral Homes. That process, it's a great concept. If we're sitting in the room, and going, geez, this would be great, but you could probably find 5 brain surgeons on Market Street, okay, before you could find, the team you have here. Creating that experience that my family went through when we walked into that funeral home.
It's no different than the funeral business. This is an arm of funeral service. And it's got to be done well. And the people that you saw today walking around, they get the same experience. So if we're true to ourselves and it's real,
yeah,
and it's just not fake,
yeah,
you know, so what you saw here today
is a bunch of people who get it.
Who get it. Not only get it, they're happy to be here.
Yeah.
All of them, to a person, take ownership in this business because they really, truly understand the work that they do. They have a hand. Somebody else has a hand in this.
Whatever
your faith is.
Yeah.
All right. And so do our young people here.
Yeah.
They truly believe that they're providing a service because they've had losses in their life. And they know when they're working on either a young woman or an elderly gentleman or even someone who tragically lost their life at a young age, the impact that they're going to have for that family who they've never met.
Yeah.
But they met them through all the information that the funeral home provides us.
Yeah. Well, it's absolutely phenomenal. I wish that everybody could get the experience that I just had when you gave me the tour. Let's do this. I know Jim has to take off, and we got a team of people that are going to be joining us. Jim, thanks so much for not only coming on the show, but also doing what you do, man. Fantastic.
It's my pleasure, and I just hope that anybody that hears this presentation realizes that there's a ministry available for consumers, and it's called Life Celebration. And to Jerry's point quickly, our team is totally understanding of what Life Celebration means because they have an asset in and around the Philadelphia area called Givenish Family Funeral Homes.
Yeah.
So they've been there. They've experienced losses. They see their work in action.
Yeah.
And I can't thank you enough for coming here today and giving us an opportunity. So thanks a million.
Well, and by the way, thank you, everybody on this team, for making our families. And I didn't really know Peggy Jansen. It told me and kind of said this, you got to go to this place. Guess what? Now I know where it came from. So, Jim, awesome. We're gonna have more from the Givenish Spotlight Hour on WWDB Talk 860. After the break.
Diane from Michigan, a disabled senior citizen trying to get by. Henry from Florida, a veteran fighting to make ends meet. Elena from Arizona, a mother struggling to feed her daughter. Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year, like Diane, Henry, and Elena. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
A gentle breeze blows across your face as you take a refreshing sip of water, appreciating the stillness of another morning fishing on the lake. The distant gurgle of a stream reminds you of days spent playing in the creek, the cool, clear water rushing between your toes. You love this time with nature, the feeling of putting everything on hold to connect with the world around you. Now, imagine it's all gone. No fish, no lake, no water. One of life's most vital resources, irreplaceably depleted. Time is running out to protect fresh water, and without our love, it can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our fresh water. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Givenish Spotlight Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. It was fantastic to speak to Jim Cummings and, of course, Jerry Givenish, the owners here at Life Celebration. Jerry's still with us. But we also have, we talk about a family affair. And when you create a business and an experience like the one you have, and I can only imagine, Jerry, and I'm talking to Jerry Sr. here, when you create something like this, you probably wish you were 25 to 30 years younger, because this thing is just, what these guys are going to do with this business, when you retire and you're rowing down the river, it's going to be you probably will never retire. But the point is, is fantastic. And I'd like to bring the fellas into the program. Jerry Givnish Jr., how are you, sir?
Good. How you doing, Joe?
I'm fantastic. Brian Givnish, how are you?
Good, Joe. Thanks for having me.
So, guys, talk about first, Jerry Jr. Can I mean, I have to separate
Jerry Jr.
Jerry Jr. is cool. He's probably never been called that, but we are on here. Jerry, talk what you do here and what is your role?
So my role at Life Celebration, I'm the CFO and handle a lot of the HR. However, I got my start out of college working for the Givnish Funeral Homes. So I was kind of doing a lot of part-time funeral work, but then transferred into working with closely with Dan Selecki and my Uncle John.
Dan Selecki, that troublemaker, Dan Selecki. he's great. We love Dan. And Brian, talk about what you do.
So I am as well a funeral director.
Okay.
I got my start as well at Givnish Funeral Homes, you know, doing errands, making runs and all of that. And after I worked as a funeral director for a while at my Uncle John's funeral homes, I really have always had a passion for teaching. And I also knew that I wanted to work closely with my brother and Jim Cummings and my father. So I begged them to let me come to this side, and they kept pressing me and saying, you know, you need more experience.
You want to learn it, right?
Yeah, right. And so once I really got my experience in, I came over here, and I've been here ever since working hand-in-hand with Jim Cummings. And my job is primarily to teach and train funeral directors who come into the Life Celebration community.
Yeah, and Jerry Sr., that has to be, you know, I mean, I see the structure and you know, I can see why Brian, you know, your father and Jim wanted you to get as much experience at the funeral home level as possible, because you need to be able to, you know, not only relate to it, but you've done it. You need to be able to know exactly the process. You're not just somebody walking in reading out of a book.
Mm-hmm. Of course, and you know, the main thing is, the way we would describe it is you have to be in the trenches. You really have to understand what it means to walk into a room and have, you know, sometimes two family members, sometimes 10, and they're all feeling different emotions, right? And how to really make order out of chaos. And if you don't have that experience, there's no way to be able to teach that to other funeral directors.
And Jerry Jr., I want to talk about, you mentioned HR. Mm-hmm. That's what I was talking about.
Right.
You know, senior. That's what I was talking about in surrounding yourself with great people. Talk about that process and really where you and how you learned it, because, you know, having a, you know, that's really the most fascinating, you know, to me, to be able to create the concepts, number one, and to be able to facilitate it as a Givnish, okay? The families, you know, there's so much standards, and it blows me away all the time. But being able to, you know, hire people and to be able to get into that process to in a sense, not duplicate it in a sterile way, but to be able to, you know, take that experience and transition it in another in a facility.
Sure. Not only do they have to have the skills in order to do what they do, the graphic design capabilities and the experience in there, but they have to have the empathy, the compassion. You know, those are two key areas that we look for. And then the willingness to learn. They know what they're kind of interviewing for, the type of business it is. They know it's involved in the funeral profession. So they have the awareness of that, and then the willingness to see what actually happens here. And they're also trained with what Brian and Jim do as far as the experience economy side of things, as well as what goes on in the funeral profession. So, you know, once we had the two, you know, key employees in place, it was easy to identify those graphic designers that we need to do the job. And from there, it's easy to identify if they have those capabilities and talents and characteristics.
Yeah, because they're creating, what I said to your father was they're creating an experience. You know, and I love the way it's, you know, that the way this, you know, this place is set up, where everybody has sort of their own little domain and where they can get into the artistic part of, you have to throw yourself in when you're creating an experience.
Right.
That's what I was talking about. So, you know, when I was talking to my wife and about how much she cared about what she did, that's what I meant when I said it's easier to find a brain surgeon walking on Market Street than to just find any person that's going to take ownership and passionate and empathy for creating their portion of the experience.
Sure. And it's they develop a relationship with the funeral home that they're working with and the director, and it's a co-creative process where they're learning about this deceased who the funeral home met with. So they're also learning from the director of who that person was. So they're getting that education and taking that information from the funeral home and saying, what can I do to help them grieve, heal, and make the experience overall that much better.
Senior, talk about how proud you must be of your sons and you didn't like Brian said. By the way, my father did the same thing. He was the head of the ironworkers, and he wouldn't let me graduate. I redshirted a year because I wasn't ready, right? But the same exact thing. Having these gentlemen buy in, but be passionate about the same thing that you're passionate about, and taking your vision and Jim's vision, and continuing it at the same level.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, I had an opportunity to work with my father through my early career. We lost him at an early age of 50. Yeah. But being blessed to have that opportunity to work with him day in and day out, it was a heck of a teacher.
But also making the guys, experience it from, kind of the ground up. So, in other words, not just handing them the ball and say, by the way, you're an executive after you got done college and went and partied for 4 years. Mm-hmm. They learned the business from the ground up.
Yeah, these guys weren't born on third base and woke up and thought they hit a triple.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, it's the way that I was brought up, through hard work, dedication, discipline, consistency. It has to be done well. And my wife did a nice job teaching that to my six kids. But I'm blessed to have them here. And I truly mean it, to give them an opportunity, the same opportunity that my parents gave to me and my five other siblings is. A lot of families don't have that. And I'm blessed to have that, and there's another son that works here, Pat, who works in production. So to have three people here inside my family
that are legacies, that are passionate about the end product. I mean, Jerry, you take pride in what obviously comes out, comes out those doors.
Absolutely, and you talked about it earlier. But the passion that my dad and Jim have, it's contagious.
Oh, yeah.
So with that passion instilled from the leadership, it just trickles through the rest of the staff. So it's easy to work in harmony, and it's easy to go about your job every day if that passion's there. And, it's contagious. So once that's instilled in everybody, then, it's just an easier day to go about your job.
Absolutely. Well, guys, what you're doing, and it's also, when I look at it and I say, okay, you this is not only a whole experience, life celebration, but you're creating a situation here where this is going to flourish and continue to grow at the highest level.
Yeah, it's, again, we're not looking to be the biggest, and that's an overused term, but we really mean that around here. If we want to stay focused with our customers and really work hard with them, there's got to be a little bit of piping it down so we can deal with them on a one-on-one basis. So there is a little bit of scarcity inside of our business. We don't bring on everybody that calls us. We get calls every day. They really have to fit what we have from a culture standpoint. and it's got to work for everybody.
Absolutely. Well, listen, guys, appreciate you jumping on the broadcast. Brian Givness, Jerry Givness Jr. it's great to see how the business evolved, and it's also great to see how it continues to evolve into the future. We want to thank both Givness sons, and we're going to have more from the Givness Spotlight Hour when we come back.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. And I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments. The benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Givness Spotlight Hour on WWDB Talk 860. Fantastic show. Life celebrations, the conversation. It's an experience, a healing experience for anybody that, whose family member, who loses a family member. To experience the celebration of life is something, that, and if you're, and if the funeral home that you're working with is in the network, which is an exclusive network, it's like nothing you've ever experienced. We have Jerry Givness here, and we had Jim Cummings earlier. Now we're going to talk about it from the funeral home side, okay, and dealing with life celebration and how and executing it. Peggy Jansen of Givness, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
And by the way, thank you for putting this together.
I knew it was something you had to see and experience.
Oh, unbelievable. You do a fantastic job. Peggy, produces, the show and kind of puts everybody together. And we talked about the topics this morning. When I woke up this morning, I'm like, so that's why when you said, give me a call,
yeah.
It was like 6 seconds later. Kristen Lefferts, who's a funeral director at Givness, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
It's great to have you on the broadcast. What I want to do is I want to talk about life celebration from your perspective. Peggy, your role, and you do a phenomenal job at we've talked about it many times, that kind of talking, you don't even realize what goes into it. It's such a flawless situation. And so talk about it, your role in the life celebration experience.
Well, I've been around the Givness family for 30 years. And so for me, just to back up a little bit, I have to applaud Jerry and Jim. This is so awesome to actually see so many things that I knew were just conversations come to fruition, this whole operation here at Life Celebration. And to that note, that is what sets the Givness family apart, that we are a life celebration home. And from start to finish, we talk all the time about the fact that we are not that typical funeral home that just takes care of you at time of need. We're all about reaching out to families ahead of time through talks, seminars, many events that we have through our funeral home just to welcome families in and get comfortable, Halloween safety nights, Christmas tree lighting ceremonies.
You're very community focused.
Correct. And then, which you'll hear from Kristen a little bit later, is the fact that from the very first minute that we get a call from a family who's lost a loved one, the conversation starts. And that's exactly what it is. It's a conversation to find out as much as we can about their loved one, because we're not just providing cookie cutter funeral services. We are trying to create a celebration of life for that family member and help this family through the most difficult time of their life. So as Kristen, again, will touch on, she'll take you through what happens on that first call. After that, again, she'll take you through that whole process. And then after work, where my role comes in is I do all the aftercare for families. In other words, normally in a normal funeral home, you may have services and then afterward you pay the bill and they say goodbye and that's the end of the story.
Right.
That's not how it is at the Givnish family funeral homes. John Givnish has instilled in us from day one, of course, to treat every family as if it's your own. And to that note, we've all suffered loss, myself included, my father at 33, my mother at 57. So I know firsthand what it's like to lose someone you love and all that goes into the planning and preparation for a funeral and what happens afterward. And let's talk about afterward. After service, normally, as I said, you pay the bill, you leave, and that's it. I personally reach out to every single family we provide services for, and I call them. And the call is pretty much like this. I'm just calling to see how you're doing. And I listen. You know, some of these people, although you may see hundreds of people come to services that day, after the services are over, people go back to life. It's not that they don't care, but life's busy.
Right.
And so they maybe not have heard from anyone. So maybe I'm the first call to really ask, how are you doing?
You've said many times, and Jerry, we've talked about, and your son Jerry was talking about the HR process here and all that, but one of the things that I was kind of alluding to is, you know, how important it is to get a team of people that's bought in, and that really that you've said it, you know, Peggy, many times, it's a calling, it's not a job.
It is.
And so that is such an important situation, because you don't feel like you're a cookie cutter when you're going through, you know, the entire Givnish or life celebration process, which, because I obviously, you know, we are, our services were to Givnish funeral home, we're one and the same. Mm-hmm. And so let me bring in Kristen Lefferts, who's the funeral director at one of the Givnish homes. First of all, it's great to have you here, Kristen. Let's talk about so now you're on the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone passes away, and it's your, you know, obviously responsibility to take the experience that we're talking about and apply it and make sure that the loved ones have that. Talk about the process and how it works.
Well, the process begins with the first call immediately. The first time that they make contact with us, it kind of gets the conversation started, and we try to just feel them out where they are emotionally, where they're going to be functionally, and what they're looking for initially. And then once they come in for the arrangement conference, that's when the real conversation starts. It's just a simple, hello, how are you? What can I do for you? And then it evolves more into, can you tell me about your loved one? What did they like to do? What made them them? What do you remember most about them? And then the conversation kind of organically snowballs from there. And then we are extracting information from them to help customize everything, but they don't know that that's what we're doing. It's just an even conversation.
And putting together, one thing I remember was, obviously, the family has to provide the pictures and a mm-hmm. lot of the different stages.
Yes.
That was, an incredible, a thoughtful, you know, somewhat, stressful, you know, worried about it. It was made really comfortable by, you know, the funeral home, because is that part of the life celebration? Like, in other words, you're right. We didn't even know what was going on. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it was almost like somebody had us in the palm of their hand.
Right. Yeah.
Talk about that process and trying to be that frontline person and at the same time you're coordinating, and you know you understand the standards of what the life celebration is supposed to be like. Talk about how you translate that to or transition it into an actual experience.
Sure. So we try to explain to families what we're using the pictures for as vaguely as possible, but still getting the information that we need to perform our actual function from them. So we let them know that we need a grouping of about 25 or so photographs. and then you designate your 10 to 12 favorite ones. I mean, I'm not going to specifically tell them what we're going to do with that because we want it to be a surprise. We want them to see, like, wow, this was an amazing thing that you have put together here, and it's not what we were expecting.
And the presentation. Right. Okay. How long did it take you, you know, as a funeral director to, you know, to kind of, you know, be, you know, get educated on, you know, the standards and the presentation, and so that you're not opening those doors up until it looks amazing.
Do you mean from setup wise? Yeah,
well,
our
just
end, or?
Just talk about the education process, okay, like how you learned it, and then at what point, you know, do you open them doors up and you know it meets your standards?
Okay, so it starts initially through our internships, but when we're going through mortuary school and as an apprentice, we're the ones physically setting the props up. But we are also learning from the license directors about it. And then when we become licensed and start meeting with families, then we go through the life celebration training, and they explain everything to us. And it's very easy to absorb. And once we're comfortable, you know, and everyone goes at their own pace. Once we're comfortable enough to translate that to the families, then we just do what I said. We ask them what their loved one enjoyed, what they like to do, and then they give us everything that we need, and then we put it all together for them. And a lot of people.
Joe, I'm sorry, Kristen, sure, but I have to interrupt here just to say part of what I do is, you know, call to see how families are, and then I ask them how the services were. And the reason I stopped Kristen right there is because I actually should be mad at her, because the other day someone had me on the phone for about a half an hour raving about Kristen, to say she not only gave them the life celebration experience, which we just spoke of, and Jerry, you know, and Jim have touched on all the different products, I think over 75 that they provide, but she goes the extra step to really listen. My office happens to be inside one of our funeral homes, and it's not unusual to walk out. Let's see, the other day I walked out to use the restroom and there was a bald eagle on a stand, meaning this person happened to have an affiliation with wildlife. And so in the funeral home was some wildlife. It's not unusual. Kristen maybe will hear someone loved peppermint patties. And it's not unusual.
Personal
to see,
touch.
Exactly, right, or, right, you know, tasty cakes at mine, you know? And so what I wanted to just compliment Kristen on was, it's not just, you know, she even goes beyond, as most of our funeral directors do, to not only provide that life celebration experience, but go beyond it to find those little things that really mean so much to a family.
Fantastic. Jer?
Yeah, you know, Kristen, I think you're really simplifying the whole aspect of that process. you know, funeral directors in general want to do this. They just don't have the skill set, because it isn't an acquired skill set.
Right.
To be able to sit with a family, again, the worst day of their life, and to solicit information through storytelling, and that's how they're gathering the information,
sure,
from the family, not through a sterile conversation. I call it the triage of give me your name, you know, birth date and all that.
Right.
Different jobs, which we need. But what Kristen's referring to is how that conversation takes place.
So it's that, in a sense, detailed in the training, that is simplified in the experience.
Right. It's so second nature at this point now, because I've been licensed and doing this for about 7 years or so, and that we can just have the conversation with the family, and then we stop talking and they continue talking and they give us all the information without realizing that they're doing it.
And let me say the personal touch. I just want to say one thing. We have a minute left.
No.
We have a minute
get
left.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding you. And I just can't say enough about Kristen. That wasn't so bad, was it?
No.
Not at all.
Thanks.
It gets a lot harder on the second in the second hour, but that's for another time. Thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast.
Thank you for having me.
And can continue doing what you're doing. It's making a difference in the lives of so many people.
Thank
I'm a
you.
Testament to that.
I appreciate that.
Peggy Jansen. You know how I feel about you. It's not a job; it's a calling. Mm-hmm. That's you know, off the you know, off
and
the
we're
chain.
We're available to help families before, after, and during their time of need. 1-800-GIVENESH.
Jerry, give us parting words, if you would, sir. This experience has been incredible.
No, and thanks, Joe, for having us on today. It's always a good thing getting the word out there and educating people, letting them know that there are options available to them. And I just want to thank you guys for having us, Peggy, Kristen, and my guys. So
yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. I want to thank you for the tour, for the experience. Any contact information if somebody wants to get in touch with Life Celebration?
You can go right to our web, www.lifecelebrationinc.com.
Awesome. Well, this brings to the conclusion the fastest hour in radio. I'm blown away by the experience at Life Celebration. I want to obviously thank Jerry Gibnish, Jim Cummings, Peggy Jansen, and Kristen Lefferts for being fantastic, and Jerry Jr.
And
Brian Gibnish for doing what they do. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I want to thank John Givnish, obviously, for making this show possible. I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.